Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Buffalo Bills Radio Network Sports Update.
The Bills are headed down to Dallas to face the Cowboys tomorrow at 4:30 p.m. You can catch the game on WGR 550 with Murph, Eric Wood, and Sal Capaccio. You can watch the game on CBS. Also tomorrow for Thanksgiving Day football, the Detroit Lions are hosting the Chicago Bears at 12:30 p.m. on Fox, and the Saints head to the Falcons for an 8:20 kickoff tomorrow night on NBC. Pittsburgh head coach Mike Tomlin announced yesterday that the Steelers will start quarterback Devlin Hodges on Sunday at home against the Browns. Hodges replaced Mason Rudolph at halftime in the Steelers' narrow victory over the winless Bengals in Week 12. Hodges has a career stat line of 27 of 40 passing, 318 yards, two touchdowns, and one interception, with a passer rating of 97.7. Ravens center Matt Skura will miss the rest of the 2019 regular season with a knee injury suffered in Baltimore's 45-6 win over the Rams on Sunday. Skura is ranked the NFL's 22nd best center in pass blocking by Pro Football Focus. The Sabres host the Calgary Flames tonight for a 7 p.m. face-off at KeyBank Center. The Sabres game night on MSG will be at 6:30 with Brian Duff and Marty Biron. You can also catch the pregame coverage on WGR 550 with Shope and the Bulldog beginning at 6 p.m. with Rob Ray. And Rob Ray will join them live at 4 p.m. during the show. Flames head coach Bill Peters will not be behind the bench in tonight's game while the NHL and Calgary continue investigating a claim that he used racial slurs in addressing a player earlier in his career. Associate coach Jeff Ward will handle the head coaching duties tonight for the Calgary Flames. Tampa Bay Lightning defenseman Eric Cernak has been suspended for two games without pay for elbowing Sabres defenseman Rasmus Dahlin during Tampa's 5-2 win over Buffalo on Monday. Dahlin was diagnosed with a concussion from the hit. And that is your sports update. Now, thank you for joining us on One Bills Live. You're with Steve Tasker and Matty Glab. We are pleased to be joined by a guy we've all watched for a long time cover the Dallas Cowboys for ESPN. He's the ESPN Dallas NFL reporter. He's been with ESPN since 1998 and has covered the Cowboys since 1989. Ed Werder joining us. Ed Werder, Steve Tasker and Matty Glab here in Buffalo. Thanks for joining us. How are you?
I'm honored that you would invite me to be on your show and to share some insights on this fascinating game that we're expecting to have here tomorrow at Jerry World.
It is kind of a fascinating game. What strikes you most about this, being a guy who covers the Cowboys?
Well, obviously the major storyline in Dallas right now is just the tenuous nature of the head coach Jason Garrett's job, given the criticism delivered by Jerry Jones after their loss up in Foxborough, and the exasperation that he expressed that not only did they lose that game, but it was more some of the other games that, in his mind, they should have won, like against the Jets and the Vikings and the Saints, that put them in a position where they couldn't afford to lose to Bill Belichick and Tom Brady in Foxborough, where, as you well know, that's what happens almost invariably to any opponent who goes there. So that, to me, is the major storyline, that Jason Garrett and his staff are well aware they are now coaching for their jobs. Garrett obviously has coached all season without a contract extension. And then I think the other interesting thing is the fact that we're looking at these two teams that neither one of them has been able to beat an opponent with a winning record at the time the game was played. Dallas gets its fifth opportunity tomorrow against the Bills. The Bills getting just their second chance to sort of validate the kind of team that they are with a victory over a winning team. So those are two interesting, I think, storylines that are unique to this game.
And in those losses that the Cowboys had, a lot of the times, besides one of those losses, they have more total yards when it comes to offense. Some of this chatter about this game is on offensive coordinator Kellen Moore, and if he should dial up something different, be a little bit more, give some more variety in what we've seen instead of some 11 personnel, your basic personnel. So what has Kellen Moore done in his first year as an offensive coordinator, and do you think he's going to mix it up when it comes to wide receivers, tight ends, running backs on Thursday?
Well, I think what's interesting, Maddie, is that Kellen Moore has pretty much done the job that he was hired to do. They fired Scott Linehan, who was the mentor of Kellen Moore. Kellen Moore, as a quarterback and as an assistant coach in the NFL, had spent seven consecutive seasons with Scott Linehan. So when you take over for somebody, the offense, like the owner is basically saying, I don't want the offense to look like this anymore. And so they sort of have evolved from a run-oriented offense built around Ezekiel Elliott to one that now features much more prominently quarterback Dak Prescott and the passing game. Now, they've had a lot of success, as you mentioned, accumulating yards, and they've actually done pretty well scoring points, but there have been games now, too, losses both on the road in which they failed to score a touchdown against the Saints and the Patriots and ultimately lost those games. But I think that Kellen Moore is following the mandate of Jerry Jones when he was promoted to this position after just 1 year as a quarterback's coach, to create a more dynamic offense, one that looks more like and performs more like the final four teams last year in the playoffs and the conference championship games were the top four scoring teams in football. When the Cowboys went to the playoffs last year, they were the lowest scoring team to make the postseason. So I think he's reconfigured them in exactly the way that Jerry Jones imagined, and that really for the most part, the failures have come in other phases of the team.
We're speaking with Ed Werder, ESPN Dallas NFL reporter. Ed, I got to ask you, too, about this. It seems from the outside looking in, there's always some drama going on in and around the Cowboys because their owner is so involved and hands-on. And Jerry has put together a roster that, when you look at it on film and look at it on paper, you're really like, wow, they really should be winning. And we've already seen Jason Garrett have get times in his career as the NFL as a head coach of the Cowboys where – yeah, they've said, hey, how long is he going to be here? Is Jerry really unhappy with him? But we've never, like this morning, I've heard a rumor where there's actually a guy like Chris Richard, who's the passing game coordinator, be mentioned as a guy who may take over for him. That seems a step further than normal.
Well, it was unusual. This is only the second time in their 10-year partnership that Jerry Jones put Jason Garrett in a position where he was coaching for his job. Because they decided not to extend his contract after last season, even though they won the division and won a home playoff game against Seattle, they forced him to coach the last year of his contract, and we all know that's highly unusual. And Jerry has always been Jason Garrett's biggest public supporter, and it's very clear now that that is not his position. And I think it's because when the season began, Jerry Jones and Stephen Jones and Will McClay, the collective front office made it a very, very publicly known that they viewed this as the best collection of talent and the deepest roster that the Cowboys had put together since they were winning Super Bowls in the 1990s. And so they obviously didn't expect to be 6-5 with that roster. And so Jerry Jones is now left with an uncomfortable choice. You either have to take the responsibility yourself and say, I misjudged the quality of the roster I put together and gave this coach, or you have to say the coach has underachieved and not won enough games with a great roster that I gave him, and not surprisingly, he's choosing to do the latter.
Now, this is a talented offense, as you have mentioned, and some of these losses, Cowboys losses, haven't necessarily been on the offense because they've still racked up points and yards. When you're talking about shutting down the Cowboys' offense, what does the Bills' defense need to shut down? Is it Zeke? Is it Amari Cooper? Is it completely shutting down the run game? How do you think the Bills' defense can win this game by playing a successful game on defense?
Well, I think until very recently, defensive coordinators took the approach that you got to take Elliott out of the game and you got to force Prescott to win it throwing the football. But as he's demonstrated a capacity for doing that, I think the defensive priority now changes to taking away Amari Cooper, which we've seen happen now in two consecutive weeks. Stephon Gilmore shut him out last week, a familiar player to Buffalo fans, shut him out for the Patriots last week, the first time in 20 games that Amari Cooper didn't have a single catch. And in fact, Stephon Gilmore had one more catch of a Dak Prescott pass than did Amari Cooper. And the week before that, he was covered man-to-man by Darius Slay and had just three catches for 38 yards. So I think, given you know the success that Bill Belichick had and that Matt Patricia took the same approach the week before, I think that suggests it really starts with trying to deny Dak Prescott the receiver that he depends the most upon. Now that being said, those were road games, and Amari Cooper has been a strikingly different player at home. He's got three consecutive 100-yard games at home. Five of his touchdown catches have come at home. So he's a different challenge when the weather's not a factor and when he's in his home stadium. But I think that's a big thing. And even that being said, I think the Cowboys still feel like with Randall Cobb in the slot and Michael Gallup as a second-year player who's really evolved, that they still can hurt teams and score points with their other receivers in the passing game if necessary. But I think that's kind of where people now believe it starts in terms of successfully defending a Dallas offense that really, Matty, has to score 30 points a game or they lose. The history of this team suggests that they're 0-5 when they don't score 30 points. So that's kind of the threshold that the Cowboys take into this game, which is really a high one considering, they're coming out of a game where they didn't have an offensive touchdown against the number one scoring defense in football. Now they're playing the number three defense in scoring defense in football in Buffalo, and their next game is against the number four scoring defense in Chicago. So this is a really challenging period of time, and three games in succession that are very, very difficult for any offense. And as Steve and I were just talking about, jobs are on the line right in Dallas.
Yeah, and you talk about this offense, and it has been prolific. I mean, Dak Prescott is leading the league in yardage, 3,433 yards, 21 TDs, 10 interceptions. But there was a time, maybe a couple of weeks ago, before they dropped to 6-5, where Dak Prescott was in the conversation for MVP, and he's playing for a contract extension. He's doing all this stuff. Dak doesn't seem to be the problem. And you mentioned it. Maybe it is the defense, but this offense with Dak Prescott, I don't know that you can ask more of a quarterback than Dak Prescott's given you.
Yeah, I think the bigger problem, Steve, and obviously this is where you made your Hall of Fame reputation, is on special teams, and we saw that come to the forefront in the New England game where, the Patriots quickly blocked a punt for the third time this season. There have been 10 blocked punts in the NFL this year, and the Patriots have three of them. They've scored off two of them, and then they set up the game's only touchdown on a 12-yard drive early against Dallas last week and forced them to play from behind. And all too often, that's been one of the signatures in defeats that the Cowboys have suffered, that they don't play well on special teams. In fact, since week four, they've ranked dead last in the NFL in special teams efficiency by whatever those metrics are. The point is, it's a longstanding problem that Jason Garrett and his coaching staff have been unable to resolve, and it's one that has to frighten them this week, given that Andre Roberts is, second in the NFL in kickoff and punt return yardage, and the Cowboys are not good at covering kicks, and at the very least, it could certainly harm you in terms of field position. And that's the other thing, when you talk about the offense, the problem is that they don't get very many short fields because their special teams aren't good, and so in a field position game, they tend to lose that. And their defense has gone three straight games, 12 quarters, without forcing a single turnover, and only five teams in the entire league all season have forced fewer turnovers than Dallas. So they almost never get short field scoring opportunities, and yet they're challenged to go out and score 30 points if they want to win a game.
Let's talk about some matchups that just jump off the board when you're looking at this game. The defensive ends for the Cowboys, Robert Quinn and DeMarcus Lawrence, 14 combined sacks this season. They're going to be a force to be reckoned with on Thursday, going up against Cody Ford, rookie right tackle. Tyon Seki and Cody Ford had been splitting reps up until 3 weeks ago. He's going to be out for his second straight game. That's Tyon Seki. Why are Quinn and Lawrence just such great players? How are they able to get to the quarterback and really affect an offense?
Yeah, I think, you know, Quinn is just playing on a one-year contract after the Cowboys acquired him from the Miami Dolphins. Obviously, you know, a few years ago for the Rams, he had 19 sacks, so he's been an elite pass rusher in the league at times. But he's sort of seen as a guy who was at the end of his career, and Miami's obviously rebuilding in values draft picks. And this is a player who the Cowboys, when they signed him, felt like he was somewhere between a 7 and 12 sack player, and he's been obviously far better than that. He's going to achieve that number unless there's some kind of injury involved. He's been the dominant feature in terms of the pass rush on their defense. DeMarcus Lawrence really, you know, he got his big, huge contract in the offseason, guaranteed $65 million. And if you look at his numbers, you're not impressed, but if you watch him on tape and if you watch him in these games, he's a relentless player. And a lot of the blocking is directed at him, and he's still is an influence in the pass rush. He's a big factor in their run defense. So I wouldn't underestimate him just because his numbers aren't what they usually are. I think Quinn has certainly benefited. I think Michael Bennett inside, who they traded for from the Patriots at the trade deadline, is another player who creates versatility and a dynamic pass rusher. So I think the Cowboys have a chance to affect the game in that regard, and it's kind of always surprised me, given the pass rushers that they have and their effectiveness, that they haven't been able to create more turnovers despite the pressure that they fairly consistently are able to generate against opposing passers.
One other matchup I want to ask you about, Ed Werder, ESPN Dallas reporter, is joining us here on One Bills Live. Last question for me about matchups. Tre'Davious White has really stepped up his game. Now, he was good as soon as he came out of LSU 3 years ago, but this year he has really, really emerged as a shutdown guy. Do you anticipate, and I guess it sounds like you do, the Bills kind of using the same defensive scheme as Detroit and the New England Patriots, just latch up a guy, try and take Amari Cooper away and see if the Cowboys can beat you with everybody else?
Yeah, I mean, I know Sean McDermott pretty well from the time when he was a Carolina defensive coordinator and they went to the Super Bowl, obviously. He's a great defensive coach. I don't know what their history is of using White in that regard as far as having him travel with the number one receiver on opposing teams. You would know that better than I. But it's certainly something that if the rest of your secondary is up to that sort of challenge, has proven effective in recent weeks against Amari Cooper. I think, you know, his reputation coming to Dallas was one that you want him to get, if he's your receiver, you want to get him involved early because he can tend to get frustrated if he's not involved early and not getting the ball in the early phases of the game. And I think that we've seen some of that. So to me, that would be a big priority if I'm Dallas going into this game, is I want to get him, make him feel like he's going to be involved and do that early in the game, regardless really of what the coverage is. And I know the Cowboys have always felt, certainly until these last 2 weeks, that this was a player who could not be covered one-on-one. That's been proven not to be true. And so if I had the capacity and a player like White, I would certainly be inclined to try that myself and see if I was able to just take him out of the game with my best player on defense.
Cole Beasley, a first-year player for the Bills. Now, he spent 2012 to 2018 with the Dallas Cowboys, going back to face his former team, and he was asked if this game means a little bit more to him than a regular game or just your next game on the schedule, and he said, it might, but once we get into the game, you know, it's just really going to be about beating that opponent. So do you think this game means a little bit more to him because he is going back to Dallas, spent his collegiate career there, grew up there in Texas?
Oh, I would think so. And he's a guy that, you know, Jason Garrett was asked about yesterday. And, you know, he said he's a guy, it was an honor to coach him, that he was a highly competitive guy, that he, you know, performed in big moments. And then I just know he felt like he wasn't treated properly when he was here, that he didn't get the opportunities that he deserved. And that's certainly understandable if you look at the kind of offense they were last year. I don't know that they made enough use of him because he is a unique matchup guy in the slot. Very few teams have an answer for Cole Beasley one-on-one. And the player who will, in all likelihood, oppose him most often in the game tomorrow is Jordan Lewis. And he's a guy who's created some turnovers. He's got their only defensive touchdown. And he said, you know, he's coming off a game where he just covered Julian Edelman with some degree of success. And he said, hey, I know they do a lot of different things, but you can't look at them like they're the same guy. Cole Beasley can do every route. A lot of people think he's just an underneath guy, but he can go over the top. And he said, as far as the quickness he has, the stop and start, he said, is the quickest I've ever seen in my life. So I definitely know it's going to be a challenge. So I think if you have a highly motivated Cole Beasley, who's coming off a pretty good game, getting the big stage for the first time with the Bills and against his former team, yeah, I would think the adrenaline and the expectation is going to be pretty high from Cole Beasley tomorrow.
He's Ed Werder, ESPN Dallas NFL reporter. He's been with ESPN since 1998 and covering the Cowboys since 89. Thanks so much, Ed. We really appreciate you coming on, and I hope you have a great Thanksgiving.
Thanks, Steve and Matty. Appreciate the opportunity, and happy Thanksgiving to you. Hope to see you at the game.
All right, thanks a lot. Ed Werder from ESPN. And he had quite a bit to he's been down there for a long time.
Yeah.
You can tell.
He knows the team.
Yeah, he really does. And when you think back about what he talked about, you can see, too, I think the overriding, it's almost like a cloud. When your head coach is in trouble, that's the first thing out of it that everybody needs to talk about, am I right?
Yeah, I mean, that's been the talk of this week. That's been all the talk of Monday and Tuesday is Jerry Jones' comments on the coaching staff.
Yep. All right. Steve Tasker, Matty Glab on One Bills Live. We're going to take a break. We'll come back with we have Ryan Kelly coming up, senior NFL producer for Football Life with Bruce Smith. We're going to have him on later in the show. We're going to take your calls and your tweets when we come back. This is One Bills Live, presented by Kaleida Health from One Bills Drive, and this is Buffalo Bills Radio. Welcome back to One Bills Live. Steve Tasker along with Matty Glab. The team is on the way to Dallas for Thanksgiving. I hope all of you people are having out there are having a fun Wednesday before Thanksgiving.
We're having a fun Wednesday before Thanksgiving.
Actually, we are. We're smoothing out the rough spots. I know that. We're back here. We got nothing going on. So we're going to take a call. We're going to take this call from Ralph on Long Island. Ralph, thanks for holding. You're on with Steve Tasker and Matty Glab on One Bills Live. What's up? What do you got on your mind?
Absolutely. First, I want to say I'm thankful for both Terry and Kim Pegula for getting our organization going in the right direction, as well as One Bills Drive, because I'm all the way in Long Island and I don't have any Bills coverage down here. So it's nice to hear you guys.
Good stuff, Ralph. Thanks. What else you got on? What do you think about this game tomorrow?
So last night I was watching NFL Network had the replay of Patriots-Cowboys, and the lone touchdown that was scored was a back shoulder jump ball kind of in the end zone. Looked like a perfect Duke Williams route down low, and I was just hoping maybe he might be activated in that spot if Mr. Foster can't get his hamstring right. I think that was a point of exposure that Josh can make that throw to Duke. So I just wanted to hear your thoughts.
That's an interesting. Thanks for the call, Ralph. That's a really good observation. And there's no reason to think it couldn't happen. That's Duke Williams' specialty. We've seen it here in his short tenure here in Buffalo when he was active. The guy wins 50-50 balls. And
yeah.
Bob Foster may not be right. Foster may not be in the game. Mm-hmm. All right? And so it'll be interesting. What do you think?
I mean, Duke Williams, he's a great asset to have on your team. And as a wide receiver, he's a big guy. He's a big body. He is great with those 50-50 balls, and he's somebody you can trust in the end zone when he's going up for a ball like that.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's intriguing to think about. You're right. The only touchdown that was scored in that Dallas-New England game in the rainstorm, of course, was a back shoulder throw after that block punt where they hit the – and I can't remember the name of which receiver it was. I don't think it was N'Keal Harry. I was one of the other guys for New England. Oh, it was N'Keal Harry. So, interesting. We'll see. But we're going to have to wait for the inactives to find out if Duke Williams is going to be on the field or not. Now, you ready?
We'll know tomorrow.
Since we have a feast tomorrow and Thanksgiving, we should talk about lunch today.
All right.
All right. What's for lunch? This is where we got a couple of items on the menu. We're going to pick our menu out of column
meal.
A, column B. That's right. You're in here. You're loving life. Okay. Here we go. All right. You know how this works, right, Matty? You've done lunch with us before. Okay. Here we go. Here's what's on the menu. First thing on the menu. What's the best time to eat Thanksgiving dinner? Is it noon, mid-afternoon, or evening?
I'm going to say mid-afternoon. That's my choice. But with the Bills on at 4:30, I don't think you want to have your eyes off the TV.
You can't crowd
so
it.
This year, me and my family are going to do evening, which is, I would
after
say,
the game.
After the game, which is kind of weird. A lot of people don't eat too late, but we're gonna eat after the game. There's no naps during this Bills game. You can't be
crusher.
In a food coma.
That's a crusher.
You got to stay up for this stuff.
Wow, I hadn't thought about that.
See,
because we're doing the opposite. See, I'm gonna have the apron on. We're gonna be cooking all night tonight to get everything prepped so that we can eat earlier in the day tomorrow. Mm. Get that all done
before the game,
and then flop and just and be in a vegetative state for the game.
Alarm goes off at 4:20.
Right. Yeah.
Ready to go.
Well, Mike, if we eat at like noon or one. Eat for and you're done within an hour. Dessert, everything.
Yep.
That gives you time
for a two-hour nap
or even a one-and-a-half-hour nap, and, a 2 to 3:30 kind of nap. Or if it's a 4:30 kickoff, right?
Mm-hmm, 4:30 kick.
You can eat early in the day, get a nap in still, and then be fresh.
We're doing brunch and then dinner.
See, that's another thing, too. You got to have two meals then ready.
Yeah, we're doing brunch this year.
That's our thing. Okay, there's your first item on the menu. The second thing. On the menu, this is a really, I don't think it's controversial, but it is a serious question. Nap or no nap after Thanksgiving?
I think if you're feeling a nap, you got to take a nap. There have been some years where I haven't been feeling a nap.
Fight through it.
And you just stay up and you just keep eating basically.
Oh yeah.
Just eat some coffee. Eat some coffee. You just got to stay up. If the games are good enough, the games are good enough this year.
I get it. And see, that's the thing too. If you're napping through, it's a New Orleans Saints and a Cardinals game or something. Now, we don't care about that, right? It's out of conference. At least nap through that one, right? You catch parts of it. If it gets good, you catch the end of it. But you really don't need to hang in there for you do want to hang in there for, it's like – Bills Cowboys, you kind of got to watch that, right? You can't be napping through that. I think it does depend on the matchups of the day.
You're going to take your nap before.
You got to fit it in.
You're a nap guy.
You got to fit. I am.
Okay.
Naps are the most underrated human endeavor.
I love naps.
All right. Here is the next thing. Next thing on the menu, gravy or no gravy?
Gravy all the time. Are you kidding me? Gravy is what makes Thanksgiving a wonderful thing, is gravy. I absolutely love gravy. I will pour like 5 ladles all over my food. I want gravy on everything. And then I'm probably going to get up and go get some more gravy because gravy's the best.
I wish that when you cut my wrists open, gravy would come out. That's how much I love gravy. I'm with you totally. Gravy is all, I am all about gravy.
Yeah.
In fact, I would have a bowl of gravy for a snack if it was possible. Okay. What's a better side dish? Stuffing or mashed potatoes?
I'm not a big stuffing fan. That's a hot take. A lot of people have gotten angry at me for saying that. I don't really like stuffing, but I love mashed potatoes.
What about stuffing with gravy?
I'll eat a little bit. Okay. If it has gravy on it, sure. But mashed potatoes all the way.
Yeah, I'm a big mashed potato guy too. Now, see, stuffing is okay. Obviously, with the gravy on it, I'll do it. But see, mashed potatoes are – here's the thing. My mom's stuffing, awesome. I'll eat it all day. Your mom's stuffing – I don't know. Right?
Oh, you hate
grandma's
on my
stuffing?
Mama?
I don't know. I go down the street to the friends. You go to all these other places.
You don't know.
If you're not at home eating mom's stuffing, it's a crapshoot.
Okay.
Mashed potatoes, not so. You put
unless it's fake mashed potatoes.
Well, even so, if you put gravy on it, again, it's fine. But if the mashed potatoes are too stiff. It's the only downer.
Ooh.
Or if they're too runny, that's a downer. But even so, mashed potatoes are so hard to mess up.
So I'm a huge
mashed potato person. Okay. So we are going, yes, it's for us. For me, it's early in the day. It's you. It's evening this year.
Mm-hmm.
Always take a nap. Always have gravy. We're all big mashed potato fans, not the stuffing fans. Although I like stuffing, don't get me wrong. All right, here we go. Now there's another mashed potatoes question. Do you mix your corn in with your mashed potatoes, or you just eat the mashed potatoes plain?
I don't know. No corn.
I'm good without the corn.
Do not mix.
See, for me, I will mix my corn in with the mashed potatoes if the mashed potatoes are too runny.
If you have runny mashed potatoes, I'm not eating those.
Right. So there you go. You got to fix it up. But I could do either. I am either or. Mashed potatoes are good with anything. So I'm I'm a mixer.
Okay.
Especially at Thanksgiving time, depending on the consistency of the said potatoes. Okay. Here's the next thing on the menu. What's the better pie? Then this is always controversial. Is it pumpkin pie, pecan pie, or apple pie served in whichever way you want, right? Okay, so what do you think is the best pie?
My answer is apple pie. Okay. I love apple pie with a little bit of ice cream. My grandma makes some great apple pie. So I hope she is making that on Thursday. Hey, Grandma, if you're listening, that is my one request. Hope it's not too late. What about you, Steve?
For me, I love pie. Pumpkin pie. I love pumpkin pie with whipped cream on it, you know, a Cool Whip on it. Like that's awesome. I'll eat that any time of year, not just at Thanksgiving. But I also have an affinity for pecan pie. Pecan is my favorite nut. I grew up in Kansas, and my brother lives in a place called Winfield, Kansas, and they have it's called the Walnut Creek that goes through. They have walnuts. But they also have this big pecan festival, and they also have the World Flat Picking Championships every year. So pecans are a big thing back there.
Were you in the championships?
Yeah, it's very nice. So pecan has a special place in my heart. Now, apple pie, hot apple pie with
America's
vanilla ice cream.
Pie.
I mean, yeah, it's nectar
hard
of the gods,
beat.
Right? So I don't know if I can pick any of them. Because the best of all of those are the best.
Those are three good
pies. Whichever one's available, I will take all the pie.
All three.
Taking all the pie.
Are you a big dessert guy?
And I'm having them before I have anything else for supper.
You're a dessert guy.
I'm dessert first. All right, here we go. How many helpings on what's for lunch? One, two, or three plus helpings?
You
talk about Thanksgiving now, okay? So you're geared up for it.
As much as you can eat before you feel like you're just going to puke. So if that's three, if that's four,
so you don't puke
go
and then
for
go back
it.
For more?
No.
All of the old
I think
Roman,
that's my
Roman
stopping
centurions
point when I
that.
When I'm about to puke.
Okay, all right.
I think you just gotta keep eating.
I think it's at two minimum.
Two minimum?
I think it says two or three plus, and we're big plus here people here on One Bills Drive because I picked the Bills to win 11 plus games.
Ooh.
So I'm thinking two plus.
Two plus?
You gotta go back for seconds. I mean,
duh.
Because then what you do is, here's my strategy. You get a little bit of everything, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then you cherry pick. You go back. This was good.
Yeah,
this was good. This
I want
was,
my
and
favorites.
I'm backing off the stuff I didn't.
And then
like.
You know what you do after that, after dessert. So you do your two helpings, and
two
then
helping,
you have some
yeah.
dessert,
right.
And then after that, you go and make your turkey sandwich. Deliciosos.
Yes, you eat turkey. Yeah, and then you graze the rest of the day. See if you, and that's another thing too. You eat early Thanksgiving feast. Like a lot of people eat it later. I like to eat it early because then the rest of the day you graze.
Yeah.
Right. It's just the best. Just the best. Okay. Here we go. Last, let's see.
We got two more.
No, two more. Here we go. What's for lunch? Black Friday shopping. Heck yeah or no way?
I have done Black Friday shopping, going out and actually doing Black Friday shopping. Hey, it's a great time to get TVs. I've bought two TVs on Black Friday that are like way too cheap for how big they are. So if you need a new TV, go ahead and do it on Black Friday.
Gotcha.
So I've gone out, waited in line. I've also done just some online shopping because now there's
Cyber Monday,
but they put the deals up on Friday. So I usually just like to kick my feet up, do some online shopping, you know, get some Christmas shopping out of the way on the laptop. What about you?
Me? No, I'm a no.
No.
I'm a no. It's not Christmas Eve yet, so why go out shopping? Right?
Oh,
so that's,
you're
that's
a last minute shopper.
Am, right? I'm a last minute shopper.
Okay.
That's my thing. So I am not a Black Friday fan. Now, all right, here we go. Last one of them. What's for lunch? One Bill's Live here. Steve Tasker, Maddie Glad, Murph and the guys are off to Dallas.
They
so
left
Maddie's
us.
Filling in for Murph. Here we go. Last item on the What's for Lunch menu. How many games are you going to watch tomorrow?
There's three games.
One, the noon kickoff, Detroit and the Bears.
Mm-hmm.
Two, which is the Bears, Detroit, and Bills, Dallas. Or three, Bears, Detroit, Bills, Dallas, and whoever's playing tomorrow night, which I can't even remember.
Saints Falcons.
I am definitely
watching two. So I'm from Chicago. I'm going back to Chicago tomorrow morning.
Yeah.
So grew up watching the Bears. The Bears play quite a bit on Thanksgiving. They have.
Right.
So we are doing brunch and watching the Bears game. So I will definitely watch Bears Lions, and then definitely going to watch Bills Cowboys. I mean, duh,
yeah,
have to watch
right.
the Bills. And it's also fun because I'm getting to introduce my family to a new team this year in the Bills.
Oh, yeah.
So my entire entire family has now started to watch and cheer for the Bills, almost more than the Bears, because the Bears are 5-6, haven't had the best season this year.
Called so it.
They are jumping on the Bills bandwagon this year. So definitely going to watch that game. Saints-Falcons, I don't know.
Let me give you, I don't know. All right.
What about you?
Two at least, right?
Two at least.
All right. So here's my thing. I got to ask you this after I say this.
Okay.
So I'm probably going to watch at least two. I'm going to watch the early game because I won't be able to not watch it. I'll be up.
Right.
I'm going to have it on. It's going to be on. Whether I watch it or not, it's going to be on, so that kind of counts, mm-hmm. right? And, of course, the Bills game, I'm going to be riveted, and I'm going to be shushing people to shut up so I can watch the game. An interesting point by you. You're now covering a team that is other than your hometown Chicago mm-hmm. Bears. You're kind of neck. Like I say, you're part of the Bills family, right? Did this happen for your family? Because when I played for the Houston Oilers, back in the 80s, all the gear, they had the Oilers stuff. We still have Oilers gear up in my attic, right, from when I played mm-hmm. for them for a year and a half. The moment I became a Buffalo Bill, like overnight, that stuff was stored away, and they had all the Bills gear. They were totally on board with my new team, right? So did your family start saying, okay, what about these Bills?
I don't think they packed up the Bears stuff because, my family's been cheering on the Bears for a long, long time. But they are definitely accepting of the Bills, and they're excited that I'm working for such a great organization. And if I bought them some Bills stuff, which – teaser, I might. They definitely will wear it. They came and saw the
employee discount,
right?
Baby.
They came to the Eagles game, not the best weather, but they were all rocking Bills gear.
They came to the Eagles game.
Yeah.
Wow, that's a mishap.
I know. I told them they were bad luck and they couldn't come back.
All right. Well, there you go. So here we go. Maddie's eating. Here's what we had for lunch.
Noon and
late evening. We both taking a nap. We're both eating all the gravy. We're both mashed potato fans. She's not a mixer of corn with her mashed potatoes. I will do it if the potatoes deserve it. She likes apple pie. I like all kinds of pies. We're both seconders and then third. And yes, we're all eat all you can eat. And also, she's more of a cyber Friday.
Yeah, cyber Friday.
Kind of Black Friday.
I like that.
I'm not
cyber
going
Friday.
I may not leave the house on Friday, except we'll be in here working on Friday.
Yeah.
And then we're both going to watch probably parts of we're going to watch the Bills game and probably part of the second. That's our lunch. That was pretty painless.
That was fun.
You didn't have any weird answers, I guess. You're still part of the family, I suppose.
Oh, thanks.
Everybody, believe me, everybody's family is weird when you, except for yours, right? I mean, that's the way everybody is.
Exactly. Right? I don't know. My family's pretty weird.
Yeah, might probably win some prizes as well. All right, we'll be back right after this. Ryan Kelly from NFL Films, senior producers, coming up later in the show. We'll have What Do We Learn and a lot of other stuff coming up. One Bills Live presented by Kaleida Health from One Bills Drive. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Welcome back to One Bills Live. Steve Tasker along with Maddie Glab-Murph, and the Buffalo Bills are on their way to Dallas. One of the things that's going to happen this week, Friday night at 10 p.m. on the NFL Network, is the Buffalo Bills fans and the entire fan base in Western New York is going to get a look at A Football Life with Bruce Smith. It was put together by NFL Films. We're going to have the executive producer, Ryan Kelly, on at the top of the hour, and it'll be fun to see it because I've heard some people who have seen it. I have not seen it, but some people have seen some of it, and they say there's some details in there that most fans aren't going to be aware of. It's kind of cool.
Yeah, I think these shows of football life, it's really cool to get to learn a little bit more about one of your favorite players or somebody that you've watched for a long time that definitely dives deeper than football itself.
So we got a chance that they tweeted this little excerpt of the film out, Football Life, Bruce Smith, and it and I'm in it. I get asked about all these guys because, like I say, I was on the list of great, you know, you go down the list far enough, my name's down there, so they always ask me to do interviews about the guys who are higher on the list of great players, right?
Come on, you're a Bruce, great player.
So I did an interview with Bruce for Bruce Smith's A Football Life. Part of it was tweeted out today, and we'll let you listen to it. It's pretty interesting. Jim Kelly is also involved, and here's what it sounds like, A Football Life with Bruce Smith. Here's a couple of minutes of it. Jim had a lot to learn about being a leader. Bruce had a lot to learn about being a good teammate. His personality clashed with Jim early on, and in 89 they didn't like each other too much, and neither one of them was likable, so it was easy to understand why they disliked each other. Late in 1989, Jim and Bruce kind of huddled up and said, you know what, we're going to be stuck here together for a while. They started having a few beers together. And they kind of came together and said, maybe we'll be friends too, so they started hanging out.
As we all know, after games, we went back to my house for parties and everything. One thing I can say about Bruce is every single home game that we had a party at the house, which was every time, Bruce would spend an hour with my mother upstairs. My mother considered Bruce one of her sons. She talked about Bruce more than she talked about her kids. She had emphysema, and you understand
father,
about that.
My
your father
had
exactly,
too,
and
so that's where the connection.
So we all connected talking about how's your dad, how's your mom, good. And I do appreciate that, and I know how much my family did, Bruce, and I love you for that, and I will never, ever forget that.
I'll never forget it either. Yeah, your mom was a special lady.
Yep. Yeah.
Love y'all.
Jim's is nothing if he's not one of the great brothers of all time. And, you know, he made Bruce his brother, and Bruce loved him for it. They became really good friends, and the rest of us were just kind of wrapped up in that relationship. That's going to come up on Friday night at 10 o'clock on the NFL Network. We've got Ryan Kelly, the executive producer of NFL Films. He's the guy who put all that together. It's kind of cool to be in on one of those,
yeah.
You know, because I've got a gazillion stories about mm-hmm. those guys and how much, and I keep telling you, and I always say it tongue in cheek that, you know, I kind of won the lottery when I walked into the room as a teammate for the first time. And, you know, Bruce and Jim are already in there. They're going to the Hall of Fame. Nobody even knew it then, right? And Andre mm-hmm. was sitting next to them, and Marv was the head coach. So I had, like, four Hall of Famers, and Bill Polian, a fifth Hall of Famer, was in the back of the room. I was the first new guy he signed when he gave Marv the job. I'm still cashing that lottery ticket, right?
And
so it's fun to talk about guys from that era.
We talked about before the show, and you mentioned it in this tease here, that those two didn't really like each other, Bruce and Jim. And then I asked you this morning, were you playing your best when you had the tightest locker room?
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's a good point. We did. And it's a great debate in football, right? That Bills team was really talented. And we had Bruce and Jim and Andre, and we drafted Thurman in 88, and we got Cornelius Bennett. But in 89... you know, we made it to the playoffs. We were the last wild. We were on the road as a wild card team. We were, that was the Ronnie Harmon game. We didn't even win a playoff mm-hmm. game. And at the end of that season is when we started to change all of that, right? What they referred to in the film, and we became close. And when we decided to become friends away from the field, all of a sudden we went to four straight Super Bowls.
Yeah.
That and so did the culture make the talent. It certainly put that team around over the bend, mm-hmm. around the bend, you know. It put them over the top. The fact that they became friends and they were so talented, I think, was the difference for that team. And that's why I think, you know, those guys, those Hall of Famers, they'll still tell you that's the reason we were good, right? I don't know if it's true or not, but it's
pretty cool.
It is kind of cool.
Yeah, and it's unique.
Because they are still friends, all those guys. Mm-hmm. They're all pushing. We're all
you
pushing
say you 60. Have a, you always talk about the group message that
yeah,
you
the
have
five
with some
presidents.
Of them. Yeah.
Yeah, the five presidents group text. They all chime in on it, you know, and we do, and there's personal stuff in there too, family mm-hmm. and stuff. We're, you know, say prayers for these guys, and, you know, they got good things happening, bad things happening. They put their kids up, you mm-hmm. know. They're like, we got guys now that Cornelius Bennett's son's playing at Tennessee, you know, so.
Yeah.
They keep track of each other because it was a genuine time for all of them. They really feel for each other. It was a great time in my life. It was a gift, no question. So yeah, I mean, yeah, You have people that are lifelong friends, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
You would
think. Oh, yeah, totally.
How much does it mean to you to be able to touch base with them?
Yeah, and I think sports breeds a lot of that because some of my closest friends are from softball teams that I played on and people that you go through the ringer with, through the good times and the bad times, through the wins and losses.
That's right. It's two things. One, you accomplish something. You win games or we won AFC championships, never won the world championship, but we win a lot of games. Mm-hmm. You do a lot of cool stuff. And then also you suffer together.
Yeah.
When you suffer together, I think it really bonds you together. And, of course, those teams, as good as they were, suffered as much as anybody, particularly on championship games. So,
and you got to hope that this locker room is kind of similar, too.
That's right. That's why Sean McDermott puts such a value of it.
Yeah.
I think he sees the same thing we do.
And you can really see from being here every day that these guys, they're close.
I think it does maximize your talent on whatever roster
too.
You have.
Yeah.
If they like each other and they're pulling 100%. For each other, you get the maximum out of whatever you've got.
You're going to run through a brick wall for that person.
We've got Ryan Kelly, who is the senior NFL producer for NFL Films, who put together Football Life from Bruce Smith. He's coming up at the top of the hour. You're on One Bills Live, presented by Collider Health and One Bills Drive. Steve Tasker and Matty Glab, stay with us. We're going to be right back. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.